Well, I want to say good evening to everyone, and it's Bible study time almost. I come on just a minute or two early and let people start jumping online. And I certainly am thankful for the technology that we have, that we have been able to continue on with our Wednesday night Bible study. And I'm actually have gotten a lot of good feedback from that, so we're thankful for that. And here it is Wednesday night already. Days are still flying by. You know, every time just about we'd meet at church on Wednesday night, we'd say, well, here we are again. And we come back on Sunday. Well, we're here again. And I don't know. At first, it seemed like the days were sort of dragging along. But I've been really busy the past several days. And so here it is. We're already Wednesday again. And so I want to thank you for watching. We have lots of things to pray about as a church, as a nation. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer in just a few moments, and we certainly want to remember one another in our prayers. We want to remember all those who are healthcare workers, those who are being exposed to more dangerous, you know, things because of the virus, and we want to remember those people in our prayers, the firemen, the policemen, always. Then we want to remember one another. There's always people that have health concerns and difficulties that they're going through. We want to remember them. We want to remember our leaders in our prayers, that the Lord would help them, that they would have wisdom to know what to do. I'm really looking forward to and thinking, you know, that they need to start thinking about opening things back up and getting things going a little more than they are. You know, people are out of work, people are hurting because of that, and there will be a watershed, you know, down the road where people have gotten behind and they've got financial troubles and things like that. And you know, trouble is trouble. And so we want to remember one another in our prayers. We are going to go to the Lord in prayer. Then we're going to turn in our Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter number 5. So we see several have already jumped on. And I do want to say that if you have special prayer requests, if you'd like to be mentioned, if you will comment in the comment section, we will try to go over that. We will go over that at the end. I mean, my family, we have been having prayer together. I encourage you and your family to have prayer. Go down through the comments. And you can see, you know, somebody might have a special object prayer you can help them pray about. And then we just pray for everybody and just go down through there. And so we're thankful that you have joined us, our church members, those who are not church members, people in the community, wherever you may be today. We are glad that you have joined us. So we want to go to the Lord in prayer. Now, I want to say tomorrow is a special day. Chloe's birthday, and we've heard and heard and heard about Chloe's birthday, so give her a happy birthday. I'm sure that would make her happy. She's going to be 12 years old, and I've been telling her all week, more responsibility, more responsibility. It's not all it's cracked up to be. You're just going to have to work harder, and more is expected out of you, and so, but that's just part of growing up. So her birthday is tomorrow, April the 23rd. Let's pray. Father, we come tonight. I do want to thank you for your many, many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, the opportunity that we have to gather together through this medium to study your word. And Lord, your word is good. And I have enjoyed it today. I've enjoyed the things I've been studying about in Galatians, the book of Galatians, and how you've spoke to my heart and given me wisdom and guidance on how to pastor, how to preach, how to live a Christian life that would be pleasing unto you. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight as we open your word. Be with the many, many objects of prayer. People are lost. We know several that need salvation in their life. We pray for those that are sick, those that have difficulties that they're going through. Maybe they are mentioned, maybe they're not. But, Lord, you know each and every one. We pray for the healthcare workers. We pray for all those that are out there, what we might say, on the front line, and they're exposed and they have dangerous jobs. Maybe that's right now just working in a retail store, a grocery store, something like that. And we pray for each and every one of these. And Lord, we also pray for our country, our nation's leaders, that you would give them wisdom, guidance, and help us as a nation, help us as a people, that we could look to you. And Lord, we ask for your touch and your guidance and your healing hand upon our country. And we come tonight and we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight, and I always say that because it doesn't matter what I say. What matters is what the Word of God says. Don't go away and say, Wayne Grier said this, you know, but you are more than welcome to go away and say, the Bible says this, because that is what is important. Galatians chapter number 5, and I suppose I should turn there myself. Now, Galatians chapter 5, and we are going to read beginning at verse number 7, down through verse number 15. So 2 weeks ago, we took 3 verses. Then last week, 3 more verses. Tonight, we're going to try to take 7 or 8 verses. So Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7, the Apostle Paul said, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." And that's sort of what I titled the lesson tonight. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. "I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." And so Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7 down through verse number 15. Now, just by way of review, I want to start in verse number 6 and say just a little bit about what we said last week. In verse number 6, he said, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." The emphasis of the true gospel is faith motivated by love. There's the emphasis of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If what we're doing, we are not doing out of love for one another, and mostly love for the Lord, then it's no good. Now, I'm going to come back and cover that a little bit more, because we're going to see that down in these verses 7 through verse number 15. But that's the last thing that we looked at, last week in verse number 6. "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision." It doesn't matter if you're the most rigid law keeper than ever was. It doesn't matter if you're the biggest idolater that ever was. That avails nothing but faith which worketh by love. Now, the Apostle Paul, just quick review, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Galatians. He had preached the gospel to them. They had heard the gospel. They had believed the gospel. They had received the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. They had loved the Apostle Paul. They had followed the Apostle Paul. The reason that Paul is writing this letter back to them, and this is sometime after the first time when he'd went and he'd established the churches among the Galatians, later after that, Paul writes back because these Judaizers, these legalizers, had come among the Galatian people. This group of teachers, or maybe it's one or two, it doesn't really say. But the legalizers had come along, and they were preaching and teaching to the Galatians that in order for them to be really saved, in order for them to be justified, they had to keep the law. They had to be circumcised. Basically, what they were saying was that they had to become Jewish in order to be saved. And they had attacked the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And they had evidently, and I'm not going to go back into all this, but in chapter 1, chapter 2, they had questioned the apostleship of the Apostle Paul, because you remember, Paul was not one of the original disciples or apostles. Paul was saved after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Judaizers had come along, and one of the arguments they had made against Paul was, well, he wasn't one of the 12 anyway. But of course, we know the Bible. He was made an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul is writing to correct them over this false belief, this false gospel, that they must keep the law in order to be saved. Now, all that to get into verse number 7. Look what Paul says in verse number 7. He says, "Ye did run well." You were doing a real good job. That's what he's saying to him. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" The Apostle Paul writes to them, and he gets now to chapter number 5, and he says, "You were doing so good. You were doing so good in your Christian life. You were getting along just fine. And someone has come along and hindered you." Now, I want you to look closely at verse number 7, that word "hindered" there. This is something I've never noticed before, but as I've been studying it out, man, it's just, you know, the more you study the Bible, the more you study God's Word, the bigger it gets. I mean, you could go back through this when we get done, and you would learn things you didn't learn the first time. It's not a book written by man, it's a book written by God. And God's Word is alive. And so we find that there's a gnat in here of all places. And so we find in verse number, if I get choked all of a sudden, you'll know what happened. I sucked it down my throat. But he said, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you?" I just got hindered a little bit by the gnat flying around. But that's not talking about a gnat flying around. That word "hinder" there is a very interesting word. And I want to look at it just a little bit. It means this. It means to beat back, to keep in check. It comes from two words, which means violent. The first part of the word means violent, and the second part of the word means to chop, to violently chop or to beat back. That's what that word "hinder" there. And there's so many things, you know, that we could get out of these verses. I mean, I could take several weeks to go down through these verses, but I'm not going to do that. But I think it's very interesting that he uses that language. "He did run well. Who come along and violently beat you back? Who come along and hindered you that ye should not obey the truth?" Now, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, the character of the legalist is to violently beat one down, to beat them into submission, to beat them back. The whole thrust of legalism is the law. That's what it's based on. You have to keep the law in order to be saved. You have to do such and such things in order to be saved. And the law, the nature of the law, is not to say "please." The nature of the law says "thou shalt not." And if you do, you're going to be punished. That is the nature of the law. You break the law and you're going to be punished because you broke the law. You had better obey or else. That's the law. The law just is what it is. And there it is in black and white. And if you keep it, fine. But if you break it, boy, you are going to be in trouble. The Judaizers come along. Now, the Judaizers, the legalizers we're talking about, when they came to the Galatians, the majority of them were Gentiles. And they had believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. They were Gentiles. They had, notice what the Bible says that they had done. They had obeyed the truth. Paul said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? They had obeyed the truth. Now, they had not obeyed the law. The law is huge. The law is, there's 613 different laws, I think there is in the Old Testament. Some of you can check me on that, but there's a lot of laws. They hadn't obeyed the law. They had obeyed the truth. They had believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They had obeyed the truth. They had obeyed the gospel. They had obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Judaizers, they come along to these Gentile believers, and they come along, and now, what did they say to them? Well, they could have said a lot of things. They could have said, you are a bunch of heathens. You know, you claim to be saved. Well, you're not even keeping the law. You're not even observing the Sabbath day. You've not even been circumcised. How can you say you're a Christian? How can you say you're going to heaven? You haven't even done these basic things to obey the law. And the Judaizers had gotten the Galatians all mixed up in their doctrine. You're not keeping the Sabbath. You're not doing this and this. And man, you read even the New Testament. They had a lot of laws. They had laws on how far you could travel on the Sabbath day. They had laws about washing plates and cups in their hands and, you know, all kinds of things they had laws about. And I can just imagine the legalizers coming on. You're a bunch of heathens still. You're not doing all these things. That is the character or the spirit of legalism, to beat one down, to beat one back into submission to keep the law. You know, it is true that the pastor has a rod and a staff. He is like a shepherd. And I'm preaching on Psalms chapter number 23 on the podcast. And personally, I'm enjoying it myself, going back through and thinking about the relationship of the sheep and the shepherd. And the shepherd does have a rod that was for discipline and a staff that was for comfort. He does have these tools, you might say, in his shepherd's bag. Yes, the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 2, he said, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Yes, sometimes the pastor may have to discipline. Sometimes he comforts. Sometimes he preaches and teaches God's word. That is what he does. But if you saw a shepherd in the field, every time you saw him, he was out there with a rod beating the sheep, I think you might say, that shepherd's got some problems. And let me say, sadly, there's some pastors, there's some preachers throughout our land today. And every time you see them, all they're doing is beating the sheep and beating the sheep. There's a problem with that. Legalism hinders you. It beats you back. That's what they did. They come along. And so look what the Apostle Paul said in verse number 8. He said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. What is he saying there in verse number 8? He is saying, this is not, this spirit, this attitude, these actions of the legalizers, this is not from Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people use religion to control other people. The legalizers done that. Legalism does that. A lot of people, even all kinds of different denominations and backgrounds, they use religion as a tool to get people to do what they want them to do. They use religion to keep people in line, to control them, to make them obey. Lord, help us if we get caught up in that. That is not the spirit of the Bible. But now, let me tell you, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they used it for exactly that, to keep people under their thumb, to control them, to manipulate them. We need to be careful that we do not use the Bible, we do not use Christianity to control people. That's not what it's for. Let me give you an example of how that can slip into even a good church. Several years ago, and I don't even remember which, you know, I pastored three churches. I don't remember exactly where this took place, but I do remember it happening. I was in church and I overheard one of the parents, and they say, told the child, they said, you better be good or I'm going to get the preacher to come over here and get you. Well, I overheard that. And I said, and you know, that I think they were sort of joking, and you know, I was sort of joking back about that. But I said, don't tell little kids that. Don't make the preacher. I said, you get them. You know, it's your kid. If they're acting up, you get them. Don't tell them the preacher's going to get them. Don't make me out to be the bad guy. And if anybody's watching that is in law enforcement, you've had the same thing happen to you. I've saw this happen in restaurants. Family sitting at a table. Kids are acting up. Police come in. Highway patrolmen come in. Sheriff's deputies come in. And here's mom and dad. They say, you better straighten up. I'm going to get that policeman to come over here and get you. Well, that's how to get your children to obey and respect the law. You know, that's how to get them to start hating to see, hey, they might need a policeman one of these days. Don't do that to preachers. Don't do that to policemen and sheriffs and deputies and all of those things. Don't do that. You know, if you're the parent, you make them mind. You make them obey. But don't use religion to control people. People do that all the time. Religions do it all the time. You better not do that. You'll go to hell. Well, let me tell you, you don't go to hell for doing things. You go to hell for not believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sin that sends people to hell. Not what they do. Everything we do is sinful. Do you know the book of Proverbs says the plowing of the wicked is sin? You mean to get out here and plow a field is sin? The Bible says the plowing of the wicked is sin. You don't go to heaven because you did this or you did this or you did that. You go to heaven because you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you go to hell because you don't. That's what it boils down to. But religion uses that all the time. You better not do that or you'll go to hell. That's trying to control people, keep people in line, make them obey. You better not do that. God will judge you. Well, God will judge. God does judge. But guess what? It's not up for me to say God's going to judge you if you do such and such. That's not what the gospel is for, is to control people. But the legalizers use the law to control and to gain authority. Look what he said in verse number 8. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. This is not from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Where in the Bible does Jesus Christ ever make anybody do anything? You cannot give me an example of Jesus making anybody do anything. When he came along to the disciples, the very beginning of his earthly ministry, did he say, hey, you guys need to follow me, you're going to go to hell? That's not what he did. He came along and he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's what we find in the Bible. The gospel message is voluntary submission to the will of God, to the Word of God, out of love and out of faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the Word of God. Voluntary submission of our free will. Not involuntary submission out of fear and retribution. Boy, if I don't do this, God's going to... It's two different things there. Now, you can serve God out of either attitude, but the persuasion of you better do this or you're in for it, this doesn't come from the Lord. Verse number 8. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. But look what it says in verse number 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You don't have to have a lot of leaven to leaven the bread. If you know anything about bread and you know anything about recipes, it takes a very little, and just a little bit of it. Leaven makes the bread to rise. That's what it does. A little leaven. Now, leaven in the Bible is a type of evil. It is a type of sin. It is a type of bad doctrine. Just a little sin leavens the whole lump. A little evil leavens the whole lump. You know the old saying, one rotten apple spoils the whole bunch. And boy, it don't take long. It makes the ones next to it rotten, and then the next thing you know, they're all rotten. They're all bad. Leaven is a type of bad doctrine. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 6, Jesus, the Bible said, "Then said Jesus unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." A little leaven leavens the whole lump, is what the Bible said. A small amount affects the whole. It makes the bread to rise, as we said just a minute ago. And when you relate that to a church or to bad doctrine or false doctrine, all it takes is a little false doctrine to affect the whole church. A little false doctrine to infiltrate and ruin a whole denomination. There are whole Christian denominations and churches that have been affected by the leaven of baptismal regeneration. Now, say, what do you mean by that? The teaching that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. That is not what the Bible teaches. Everybody that gets baptized in the Bible has already believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't find anybody getting baptized in order to be saved. Some people say you need to join the church in order to go to heaven. You need to be confirmed to go to heaven. You need to pray, you know, and on and on and on. I've heard people say, I got saved. And they say, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? If you've not, you need that. You need a second work of grace. That's always confused me. What do you mean, a second work of grace? Was the first work of grace not good enough? Didn't it get the job done? Got to have something else? No. When you get saved, you get all of Jesus that you're going to get, and the rest of the time is just Him getting more of you. But when you get saved, you get saved. You have John 5:24, passed from death unto life. You're not coming back. I've had people tell me, I don't think I've been saved because I've not prayed in tongues. All these things people come up with. And yeah, they use the Bible, but they don't expound the Bible and teach exactly what it's saying. They come up with these things. You got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And just a little bit of it affects everybody. That's why we need to be careful of our doctrine and what we believe and what we teach, because a little bad doctrine goes a long ways. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, look at verse number 10, what the Bible says. I have confidence in you through the Lord. Now, I like that. And I've never really noticed that until this study. But I've said something very close to that many, many times down through the years. Look what he says. I have confidence in you through the Lord. Do you know the only confidence you really ought to put in anybody is through the Lord? I've pastored a long time. I've had a lot of situations in churches and with people down through the years. And I learned a long time ago, if you put your confidence in people, they will. I don't know what happened with my video there, but it went blank for just a moment. If you put confidence in people, they'll let you down. I've said this to my wife before. We might be talking about a situation. I don't want to say this like talking about somebody, but don't you know in pastors' homes we talk about things that go on in church, and I've said this before. Or it might be a family, or it might be something in the community, and I've said before, I have no confidence in that person, but I have a lot of confidence in the Lord. The Lord is the one that's going to have to change the heart, change the mind, change the way somebody is doing something. And that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, I don't have confidence in you by yourself, but he says, I have confidence in you through the Lord. I really like that. That is really good. I have confidence in you through the Lord. Now look what he says, that ye will be none otherwise minded. Paul believes that they're going to come around and see the light. They're going to get back to what they were before. I have confidence in you through the Lord. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Now, he's talking there about the legalizers. And he's talking about, notice he says again, that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. There is a good lesson right there. God knows who they are. Paul doesn't go on a witch hunt. Paul doesn't go on a man hunt. Paul doesn't come along and say, you know, we're going to run these fellows down and we're going to, you know, he said, whoever they are. You know, he says the same thing in the book of Romans, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God knows who these people are, and they'll be judged. That's what he's saying. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment. Now, how important are they? Paul doesn't spend his whole ministry, and let me say to preachers, it's very easy to get drawn in by legalizers, people who teach false doctrine, and that becomes the thrust of your ministry. Paul does not get drawn into a lifelong battle with these people. He says God's going to judge them. He knows who they are. But look what he says. Whosoever he be. You know, how important are these people? Whoever they are, they're going to be judged. We don't have to worry about that. And so how important are they? Not so much. Look at verse number 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. This is great scripture right here. I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Paul was being persecuted because of his stand for the gospel. Not because he was adding something to the gospel, but because he was not adding anything to the gospel. You see, adding something to the gospel makes the gospel appealing to our lost nature. When false religion, false doctrine, when they add something to the gospel, it appeals to our lost nature. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little leaven, you know, who wouldn't rather have biscuits over crackers? You know, would you rather have a flat cracker or a big old biscuit grandma makes, mama makes, wife makes? I'll take the biscuits. I'll take the my nature, my fleshly nature. I want the rolls. I want the bread. I don't want that little flat bread. It doesn't taste like anything. It has no leaven in it. That's why it didn't rise. Our nature lacks a little leaven spiritually as well. Adding a little work to the gospel, what it does, it appeals to our sin nature. It causes people to be able to say, look what I've done. Look what I'm doing that other people are not doing. That's appealing to our sinful nature. Look how I'm more righteous than those who are not doing what I have done. That appeals to our sin nature. And Paul said, you know, if I preach circumcision, why am I suffering? He was preaching the gospel of the grace of God. He said, if I add something to the gospel, then is the offense of the cross ceased. What is the offense of the cross? The cross is offensive. Not because it's violent, not because it's bloody. You know, some people say, they throw off on all of that stuff. It is offensive in its message. Because the offense of the cross is this. You and I are sinners. And we are all condemned to die. And it does not matter how good you are or how good I am. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is nothing you can do to save yourself. The so-called righteous person, holy person, good person has to come the same way as the murderer and the thief and the drunkard and right on down. All got to come the same way. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The only way you're going to get to heaven is by and through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to trust in what He did and what He alone did. You can't help Him a little bit. The offense of the cross is it offends our nature. We got to come as sinners. If you ever realize If you ever once realize what a sinner you are, and you're not as good as you think you are, you're real close to coming to the Lord Jesus. You got to come in faith. You got to believe with all of your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said, if I preach circumcision, why do I suffer? He had suffered because of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he said in verse 12. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Now, what he's saying in a real nice way there in verse number 12, I wish the Judaizers were out of the way. That word cut off means to amputate. Now, you can take that for what, however you want to take it, but it just means what it says. I wish they were out of the way. I wish they weren't here. I wish that. False teachers, false doctrine, doctrine that sends people to hell, all of those things. I wish that wasn't here. I wish we didn't have to deal with it. That's what Paul is saying. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Look at verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Remember, we started out in verse number 6 talking about this faith and love. And here we come back to it in verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now, remember a few weeks ago we talked about the Christian life. What does the Christian life lived out look like? Does it look like a Pharisee? You know, in his garbs and his robe and his public prayers and all. Jesus didn't come looking like that. Does it look like the other side of the coin, the person who lives by license and says, oh, it's all under grace. I'll just do anything I want to do, and that's okay. No, it's not legalism. It's not license. It's not liberty just to do anything in the flesh that we want to. But what we're called to do, we are called unto liberty. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. And liberty is a wonderful, beautiful word. I love that. Can I do anything that I want to do? No. I cannot do anything that I, just any old thing that I want to do. But I have perfect liberty as one of God's sheep in the Lord's pasture that He has supplied for me. And I'm preaching out of Psalms 23 right now. You know, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The good shepherd has brought us out into this large place. And He says, there it is. You can have it all. In His care, in His pasture, I have perfect liberty. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great word. By this liberty, we are to love and serve one another. That's what he says in verse 13. You have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. God didn't save you so you could just go out here and do whatever you want to do and live any old way. He said, but by love serve one another. By love serve one another. Let me give you something real good. I'm almost done tonight. Liberty. We've been called unto liberty. Liberty is based on positive goodness. This is something we ought to be interested in. Positive goodness. What does that mean? My life, my actions, my desires, my service, my ministry, everything I do, I ought to do it out of love to God and love to my fellow man. Well, to serve one another by love. Legalism is based on negative goodness. Liberty, positive goodness. Legalism, negative goodness. Legalism comes along and says, I don't, and you shouldn't either. Let me tell you how good I am. I don't do this and I don't do that, and you shouldn't do it either. See, that's negative goodness. I don't do it and you shouldn't do it. Legalism comes along and says, you know, in order to go to heaven, I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do this. And if you're not doing it, I'm probably bitter about it. That's why I think it ought to be a law that everybody do what I do and how I do, and there's no end to that. You see, once you go down the road to legalism, and here's a great example. Congress, what do? They make laws every year. They you elect more and they go and they make more laws. You'd think after a while we'd have enough laws. Well, evidently we don't, because once you start down that road, there's no end. Because if this ought to be against the law, then surely something else ought to be against the law, and then on and on and on and on. Negative goodness. The Bible says that we ought to serve one another by love. Now, if you don't do what you do out of love and desire to please the Lord and love your fellow man, then I said this at the very beginning, it's no good anyway. Now, I believe I'm honest when I'm saying I am that kind of a parent and I'm that kind of a spouse and I'm that kind of a pastor as well. I think I'm right in saying this. I believe in what I'm saying tonight. By love, we ought to serve one another. Now, I'm not saying I never ask anybody to teach or sing or do anything at church, but if I say, hey, would you come and sing tonight? No, I don't want to. I'm not going to stand there and beg them. You know, if you don't want to do it, fine. Probably wouldn't be a blessing anyway. I'd rather hear somebody get up and sing that wanted to because they love the Lord than I would hear somebody get up and sing because they thought they had to and they were good at it and people pressured them into do it. Same thing with teaching, same thing with being a deacon, a trustee, whatever you're asked to do in the church, in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to do it out of love. And if you don't do it out of love, it's no good anyway. I love my wife's cooking. It's wonderful. It's great. I'm glad she does it. But as a husband, honestly, I've never told her, now, you're going to cook and you're going to clean and you're going to do the shopping and you're going to do this and you're going to do that and you're going to do this. You know, I have the attitude, hey, if you don't want to do it, I know how to cook myself. If you want to do it out of love, we'll sit down. We'll enjoy it. And we do. Don't get me wrong. We had a good meal tonight before church, but I was thinking about that. You know, what if she didn't want to do that? Well, I know how to cook. And besides, how good is bitter bread? Have you ever had the meal, you know, and there was tension? You can't enjoy it anyway. But out of love, you can just enjoy it. That's how it ought to be. That's how we ought to serve one another. I believe I've been that kind of parent. I've never, you know, been so hard on my children, say, now, you're preacher's kids, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. But I'm telling you, I've got some good kids, and I praise God for it. I try to be good to them. They're good to us. I praise the Lord for that. That's how it ought to be. By love, we ought to serve one another. Love is so much more better than living by the law. And I'm not going to get into this tonight, but let me say, if you live by the law, you always leave yourself a little wiggle room. You know, you say, well, you know, we don't have TV at my house, but we went to my father-in-law's and watched ball games for 4 hours. Didn't see anything wrong with that. You always leave yourself a little wiggle room. The Pharisees left themselves a little wiggle room. But in love, there's no wiggle room, and you don't want the wiggle room because you are doing it out of love. It's a totally different way to live your life. Paul said, we've been called unto liberty. This is the greatest thing it ever was. He said in verse number 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back under that law. This liberty is great. And we're going to see that, especially beginning next week. Quickly, verse number 14, he said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Wouldn't that solve, really and truly, that would solve everything. A man came to Jesus one day and he said, which is the greatest of the commandments? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. And this is the fulfilling of the law. The greatest, love God. The next one is just like it, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm telling you, that'd solve 99% of the world's problems, and it'd be a head start on the other one. If we just do what the Bible said, we ought to love one another. Look what he said. You can sum up the whole law, verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look how simple that is. You know, the government would spend $1 trillion and never have an answer for nothing. Right there's the answer to everything. Verse number 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. How sad it is that many times among Christian people there's biting and devouring. And Paul says you're gonna devour one another. You're gonna eat one another up. I've saw that in churches. Many of us have saw that in churches down through the years. You know, man, you just go to church. I don't go to church to look for a fight. I go to church to look for somebody to love and fellowship with and get along and pray for and be in this thing together. Man, it's no wonder so many people are so sour on church and the things of God. It's not God's fault. It's not Jesus Christ's fault. A lot of times people have been to church. They've gotten hurt. They have been in the middle of a fight in church. God help us. Paul said, you're going to devour one another. You devour one another. What's there? You've killed each other. You've destroyed one another. How sad that is. Now, next week, we're going to get into verse number 16. How to live a different life. You say, preacher, I know I got room to work. Listen, I have room to improve myself. How do I live a different life? How do I live a Christian life that's pleasing unto the Lord? The answer, verse number 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's where we're going to pick up, Lord willing, next week. Thank you for listening in, and I do appreciate each and every one that listens in, and I hope you get a blessing out of it. Let me say one thing before I close. I'm going to stop right there tonight. If you know that you're lost, you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the greatest need of your life. You're never going to live it good enough. You got to trust Him. You got to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. Won't you do that? Won't you think about that? Won't you let the Holy Spirit of God speak to your heart about your soul? That is the most important thing going on in your world right now. What about my soul? So I thank you for listening in tonight. I want to encourage you that there's lots of ways to get lots of preaching and teaching in this day and time. There is the podcast. If you go to podbean.com, it's so easy from your phone to sign up for this. And the podcast is called Blessings of Liberty. I'm going through Psalms chapter number 23. It's probably going to take a month. Every day it comes out. So you can get a little 20-minute devotional Bible study. And so I hope you'll take advantage of that. We got a church website, mountlebanonbc.org. And there's 10 years worth of sermons there. You can go back when I had black hair. No, not really. I've had it for a long time. But you can go back a long time. And so I encourage you, spend your time wisely. All right, if you have a prayer request, put that up on the screen. We'll be going through with our family and praying through. Remember our service Sunday morning. If anything changes, we'll be on the phone tree. Otherwise, we'll be right back here, 10 o'clock Sunday morning. Have a great week. God bless.